Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we begin our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they certainly are for today. Oh, God blesses us with the gifts of His Spirit today, and we have many of these things in operation, and sometimes you can be a Christian and not even know that what spiritual gifts you have. But as you seek the Lord can educate you and show you what your spiritual gifts are and how to begin to use them and be blessed with them. So let's begin to read in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not have you to be ignorant." I want to teach you about spiritual gifts is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. "I know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, as even as you were led." So Gentiles, of course, being here in this sentence, meaning heathen or people that don't know the Lord, but you've come to the Lord now, but before you were carried away by dumb idols. "Therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God ever would call Jesus accursed." No man ever, having the Spirit of God, would call Jesus accursed, "and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And, you know, I just love to say Jesus is Lord, because you can feel it right inside of you that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And we can't, without the Holy Spirit inside of us, even say with conviction in our heart that Jesus is the Lord. But let's do that right now. Okay, ready? Jesus is Lord. Now go ahead and focus on your heart and just feel that blessing in saying that, okay? Jesus is Lord. Man, you can't say that and mean it without the Holy Ghost. And so if you said that and meant it, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, man. Glory to God. This is a wonderful thing to know. "Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." There's all kinds of different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I think they're endless, to be honest with you. There's three lists in the New Testament. And I want to read you the one right here in 1 Corinthians 12 first. And let's begin at verse 8. Okay, let's take a look at verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith," that extra boost of faith, "by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing." Well, that's a good one to have. The gifts of healing by the same Spirit. "To another, the working of miracles." There's another exciting gift, the working of miracles. "To another, prophecy," which is the foretelling of God's word. "To another, the discerning of spirits." "To another, different kinds of tongues." "To another, the interpretation of tongues." And so there is our first list. Now, there's many things there to contemplate, many things to learn about there, and we're going to learn about each one and consider which ones are yours as we go. Now, there's two more lists I want to read to you. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and that's backwards from where we are, and starting at verse 6. Romans 12, 6. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." And it is God's grace that gives us these spiritual gifts. Now there's natural gifts, human gifts, like being good at baseball or something like that. But these are spiritual gifts, gifts that God gives to His dear people by His grace. having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, and that was mentioned in the list we just read in 1 Corinthians 12, prophecy, which is the foretelling of God's word, and also foretelling, actually having a gift of prophecy. You know, I think about wondering if prophecy was in effect when Sherry told me I didn't really love her, that I was too young. I was only 15 and a half years old. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was convinced that I loved her. And so she said, no, you're too young. We don't even understand love yet. And I wrote this long thing in her yearbook in 1964, as my sophomore yearbook. And I wrote in there, I said, you know, I just am so appreciative of you, and I'm so pleased with you. And you know what? Someday our grandchildren are going to read this. And that was prophetic, because every one of our 9 grandchildren have read that, signed it, and dated it. And this year we're married 50 years. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I love her. And I think she knows that now. Haven't we had a blast? Oh, yeah. So, prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith that we have. Or ministry or service. This is translated also service. Now, service can include a large number of things. And this is where I begin to think that actually we're going to read 3 lists. We've already been through one, and now this is the second one, and then the third one. But it is, I believe, the gifts of the Spirit are endless. That just like snowflakes, every one of us is different. And we're going to have a special mixture of spiritual gifts that are unique to us as individuals, because God's love is so deep and so wide. He has each one of his kids with different kinds of gifts and different kinds of service for him. And man, there's just so many possibilities. You know, this brother here was talking about the ministry that we just saw a little blurb on, of actually taking prisoners' kids to a camp, Camp Agape, and ministering to them, and having mentors so that you can almost have a one-on-one relationship with a mentor and a child to minister to those hurting children that are missing their parent or parents that are incarcerated. And it is a dynamic, wonderful ministry, because these kids are hungry for affection, hungry for help, hungry for guidance. And God has just blessed that service, that ministry. And this was, excuse me, just invented a little while ago, you know. There's all kinds of giftings that God brings and powerful services for him. And so I think it's endless, endless, the gifts that can be used and ministered to. So on ministry or service, let us wait on our ministering. That means waiting on the Lord for his direction and his anointing in it. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorts, which is also translated encourages. And really the definition of exhortation is encouraging to action. And exhortation can be kind of a little slap in the face to say, wake up. I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you to action, to get going in the Lord. And that is a ministry. Barnabas had that gift in the Bible. Barnabas actually means son, bar, of encouragement. And he was given that name by the apostles because he encouraged the apostle Paul to get into the fray, get into his ministry. Barnabas went all the way up the coast of Israel and past Lebanon to go to where the apostle Paul lived in Tarsus to say, man, you need to get going in the Lord. And that's how the Apostle Paul began his ministry with Barnabas. They went, the two of them. And so some people have that gift of exhortation. Let's get going in the Lord. And exhortation. Yes, on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. Now there's the gift of giving. And you know what? God usually gives those people a lot of money because they have the gift of giving. Not all of us have the gift of giving. We have the gift of spending. And so God will just give you what you need, you know. But there are some folks that are so good at giving. They can't keep anything. They just give it away. And so this is a gift from God. It's a very blessed gift from God. I'd like to share a testimony about one of the brothers in our church. His name was JJ, and maybe some of you remember him and know him. But he was the most giving character. At his funeral, it took 2.5 hours to do his funeral because everybody wanted to say something. I was sitting over here several times to end the service so we could go to the fellowship hall and eat the after funeral things you eat. And someone else would get up and I'd have to go and sit down. I think it was like 9 times. I mean, I just wanted to close the service because, you know, I was watching the wife and all, and it was sensitive to her and wanted to finish the service so we could go on. But man, people just kept getting up to share. And this last guy, I was mad at him just for a second. I made it to the pulpit, and I'm saying, now the rest of you can share in the fellowship hall. And he says, wait a minute, there's one more, and that's me. From the back row, and he came up and he shared. But you know what was being shared about this guy? That he was so free with his money. They would share things like, I was driving along with JJ, and he saw one of those guys along the side of the road that has a sign, you know, veteran, can you help me kind of thing. And invariably, he would say, pull over. And this one guy was sharing that JJ just started emptying his wallet. He didn't just go give the guy $5. It was like he said, I don't know if he gave him hundreds of dollars. He just kept pulling the bills out of his wallet and giving this. Then this guy, his eyes were getting bigger and bigger. But JJ just loved doing that. And the Lord really blessed him with a great job. He was half owner of a construction company. So he was making a lot of money. He was able to buy a really big house here in Anaheim. And he just had lots of money. But he was always giving it away. And it took 2.5 hours for all the people that filled this whole sanctuary to say it. They kept talking about JJ. And so there it is. That's an example of the gift of giving. Let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, and so there will be people that are ordained and anointed to be a leader. And they know how to rule. They know how to do it with love. And that's George. We're talking about George tonight. George is an unbelievable leader. He's able to organize tons of people into one effort. And he does it with diligence. It says here that he that rules do it with diligence. And then there's a gift here that is good to just dwell upon for a minute, because it says he that shows mercy, like Mother Teresa. She was so merciful. She just had a heart to serve people in a merciful way, to show mercy to them. He that shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. And so that's a gift to consider. There's some, especially women that I've seen this in, you just can't stop them. They're so merciful. And the man's going, come on, you know, what are you doing? I love that movie, Blindside, when the family takes in the great big giant black football player. I don't know if you remember that movie. Sandra Bullock got an Academy Award for her acting in that movie. Because they all said that she just nailed that person that they're talking about from the South. Just a lovely woman that was determined. And she had the gift of mercy. She just saw this guy walking on the street. And she noticed he didn't have a coat and it was cold. She told her husband, pull over, you know. Pulled over and said, where are you going? Going to the gym. Well, the gym's not open right now. Get in the car. She just told him, get in the car. She was just being mercy. And it ended up that this guy lived with that family for years, for a couple of years and so forth. And they just loved him and received him into their house. And there was a kind of a mercy-filled scene in the movie where when they give him his bedroom, his own bedroom, and his own bed, big enough to hold his body because he was huge. And he says, wow, this is the first one I've ever had. And she said, what, a bedroom? And he said, no, a bed. And she couldn't contain herself. She had to run into her room and cry a little bit because she was so moved with that. But this is a woman of mercy. She's given the gift of mercy. And some of you have that, and you don't know that you have a gift from God. It's a precious gift from God to have. You just can't say no to somebody that's in need. Well, that's a gift. Okay, so that's our second list. Now there's one more list of gifts to read. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Now, he gave some apostles. An apostle means sent out one, and we know the 12 apostles were called by God and gifted by him. Some prophets to go out and prophesy, giving his word out to people. Some evangelists. Greg Laurie is definitely an evangelist. There's no doubt in our minds, is there, that he's an evangelist. He has that office in the body of Christ. And, you know, just amazing how many people come forward to receive Christ every single year at the Harvest Crusades. And some pastors and teachers. Usually a pastor will also have a teaching ministry attached to his anointing. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. And this is very important to remember about gifts that you will have. The reason that we get gifts from God is to help people. And some folks sometimes might be tempted to get gifts of the Spirit to kind of have like a toy to play with or just be prideful about it or something. I've got this gift or that gift, but that's not what they're for. The gifts of the Spirit are to work on edifying, building up the body of Christ. And so that's what our gifts are for, and that's what God uses them for. And in every situation, it's to help other people. And then it's not a pride thing, it's passion. It's a passion that's in your heart to really use that gift to help somebody else. And it's the most wonderful thing. So these are three lists that I've just given you about the gifts of the Spirit and listed. But again, I'd like to say, and scholars that I read agree with this, and it's really where I got the idea, it's endless. The service, the creative mind of Jesus working in your life to make you special, and that your ministry might be totally different than something that anybody's ever been involved with. It's really incredibly adventurous and love-filled to find out what God has for you. It is just the most awesome thing, and your ministry can be so unique that nobody does it better. Because you were made to do it. And God makes us in His image in very special ways. And so there it is. There's these lists. These are examples of an endless list of what God can do. So with that in mind, then, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here, then, we begin to read in verse 5. It says, and there are differences of administrations. Here we begin to get a glimpse of how different things can be for each one. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, administrations can also be translated service. There are differences of service, but the same Lord. So, to make the rubber meet the road here, and what this means is that two people can have the same gift, and let's say teaching. We've got two people, they each have the gift of teaching, but there are differences of administrations of the same gift. And let me just give you an example. We'll use the gift teaching, and we say, okay, because this is closest to my heart, I'll use the example of the pulpit. Teaching can happen from the pulpit. That's one administration of the gift of teaching. It's administered from the pulpit through a pastor. My son James, who lives in Colorado, and will actually be moving here in 2 weeks to come and help us here at this church, and when I die, he'll take over. And I don't know when that'll be, so it might be 10 years or whatever. People are going asking me all the time, are you retiring? No, I'm never going to retire. I'm going to have to be, my dead carcass will have to be taken down the stairs before James takes over. But I want to have somebody in place that will take over the church so that we can keep going. But anyway, so what he does right now, he teaches on his phone. It's a whole different administration than the pulpit. And you can see him on YouTube every single morning. I'm sorry, Facebook, right? Facebook. James gets up every morning and gets in his car or in his living room, and he holds his phone out here and he gives a devotional from the Word of God. And he's definitely got the gift of teaching. He's an ordained pastor. We ordained him here because he used to be the principal of the school here for 4 years, and before that he was taught 7th and 8th grade here at the school for 10 years. So he was all together here at our church for 14 years. But he holds his phone out here. He says, today the Lord's been speaking to my heart about faith, and he'll give like a 2-minute sharing about faith. And what's he doing? He's teaching, but he's teaching on his cell phone. And that's a different administration than the pulpit, but he's doing the same thing. So that's what this verse means. There are differences or diversities of gifts, and there are differences of administrations of the same gift, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. Operations. But it is the same God which works all in all. Now, diversities of operations, or all kinds of working, is another translation there. Operations. So let me give you an example of that. Okay, so the operations. Our operation is a church. And so there's lots of teaching that happens in this operation in this church. We have Alex in the back right now and Magali teaching the little kids. And we have Steve in the youth room teaching the youth. And we got to have Sergio last week. You know, I mean, what a blessed brother. Would you agree? Yeah? Did you guys like Sergio last week? Yeah, amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, this kid's got it. And I've been telling him that, and he knows it. Go get him, dude. And so, what a blessing. And so, but there's, it would just take the church, But then, using the phone idea again, there's phone counseling for those who call in to a ministry. Somebody will call in and need phone counseling. And that's a different operation altogether. And my son John had that gift. He worked for Focus on the Family. And he was a phone counselor for Focus on the Family. People would call in with desperate problems, and they would get my son. And my son would do research for them and talk to them and make a letter out for them after they shared their problem and send it off to them. There was a really great research department at Focus on the Family. And so a different operation. We have a church operation. We have a parachurch operation. And we see diversities of operations, but the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And so there's that idea again. It's for the profit of all the people around you. That's why God gifts you. He's interested in people. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so these people are all very important to God. And he wants to make you a light in a dark place to actually bring forth gifts of the Holy Spirit to help them on their way to meet with the Lord. And it's a very, very precious thing that God does there. So now, with that then, we want to go ahead and begin to get into the list here in 1 Corinthians 12. And we won't really have time, I don't think, to go through all of this list, but I want to take the time to get through this whole list. So we'll do as many as we can this day. But when we get to 8:30, we'll stop. And then next week, we'll pick up and take a look at these gifts. Because as we study these gifts, you might be recognizing one of these gifts in your own life. And it's something you can focus on and let God build in your life. And it gives you a sense of worth in the body of Christ because you are being educated. The first verse here says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning these things. I want you to know what gifts there are and which one you might have. Or you can have more than one. And God wants to nurture in your life and help us to reach out and use these gifts. The scripture says, stir up the gift that is within you, which was given to you by the laying on of the elders. This is what Paul said to Timothy, the laying on of hands by the elders, and prophesied over him that he had the gift of teaching and he should use it. He should stir it up. Stir it up. If you have the gift of tongues, stir it up. Use that gift. Oh yeah, use it. And just speak out in the tongues. Yeah. And ask for interpretations from the Lord. Stir it up. Stir up the gift which is in you. And now, before we start the list, I'd like to say this. Our greatest example is Jesus. We want to follow Jesus in all that we do. He's our greatest example of really all the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12:3 says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we want to be careful not to go past what God has given us, but to just use the gifts that he's given us to help others and think soberly and pray soberly about who we are in the Lord. We don't want to go past the measure of faith because God gives us all a measure of faith to be exercised in our spiritual gifts. I'll give you an example of this. This is a negative example that happened to me. The Lord has given me the gift of prophecy, one of the gifts I have. And at one of the Bible studies, when I was very young, I think I was 24 years old, I had been to a retreat and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, given the gift of tongues and prophecy. And so at this Bible study, the Navy came. We lived in Long Beach, and we had a lot of pretty girls come into our Bible study, so it attracted the Navy. I was always wise to those guys. But anyway, they came, and they were Christians too. And so I had a word of prophecy for this one brother. And I laid hands on him, and I said, "Brother, the Lord, you know, has given me this thing for you." And I told him, and he was blessed. And I looked up and saw all the lonely faces of the other Navy people. And I thought, they ought to have a word too. And it wasn't something that was from God giving me the faith to do it, because I felt nervous about it, but I just felt like they needed to be included. Wrong. I went to the next guy, and I said, "Gary, my son, that as from the Lord." And he looked up at me and says, "My name isn't Gary." Facial disgracial right away. I had stepped outside my bounds and thought of myself more highly than I ought to have thought. I wasn't thinking soberly about the measure of faith that God had given me. It's just for that one brother. That was it at that time. And so that was a huge, huge spiritual lesson for me. I've got to back off and wait on the Lord. Remember when we were reading the list in Romans? He that is serves and has ministry, let him wait on his ministry. He that teaches, let him wait on his teaching, to the place where God really wants you to step into it and do it. So it is kind of a tightrope to walk, and only the Holy Spirit can walk it. And we just have to be in submission to Him and ready to be used by God and knowing when to be quiet and to go forward. So there it is. So now I'd like to say this about Jesus Christ. Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. Now, we just read that we're measured, that everybody should go with his measure of faith. Jesus was given the Spirit, no limits, without measure. He was fully filled with the Holy Spirit. And everything he did was A-OK, perfect A+, and he could do anything he wanted. And so what an example for us to look at for how the gifts really look like. And so we're going to start on that journey right now. The first gift in the list is the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? And let's take a look at the life of Jesus Christ and go to Matthew 22. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 17. Matthew 22:17. Matthew 22:17. Now Jesus answered all kinds of questions. These guys were trying to catch him in his words so they could put him to death, trying to get him in trouble, and thinking of hard questions to ask him to get him to slip up so they could put him up on the cross. And they say to him, "Tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to give taxes to Caesar or not?" Now this is a catch-22 question, because if you say that it's lawful to give tax money to Caesar, the people are going to get really ticked at you, and you become totally unpopular with the masses instantly. They hated Rome with a perfect hatred, and Caesar was the stink bomb of the earth. And to give that dude taxes is against every grain of desire in their hearts. And the person that would say, oh yeah, it's a good thing to give taxes to Caesar, they are in massive trouble with the masses. And they knew that. These guys that were asking Jesus this question were going, yeah, you just say that it's good to give taxes to Caesar, and you'll be so out with the out crowd, you won't even know what happened to you. But if you said, no, it's not lawful to give taxes to Caesar, then you're out with the people that can kill you. And you can get in massive trouble like dead if you go against the Roman government publicly. So what is he going to say? Well, God gives him a word of wisdom right here that is just amazing, that no one could ever think of on their own. It's the wisdom of Almighty God. Remember, Jesus said, you know, Solomon had great wisdom, but then he said, but there's a greater than Solomon here. And he was talking about himself, that he's got more wisdom than anybody. And that's why when you're out of wisdom, you just need to go to God. Because he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it liberally, and God can give you an answer that blows everybody's mind. It's incredible when God gives you a word of wisdom. It's just the right thing to say at the right time that solves the whole problem. My wife has that gift. She really does. She's such a great helpmate to me. Over and over again, I would like to have a nickel for every time I've said to her, that is exactly what I needed to hear. It's just a word of wisdom. It's a gift of the Spirit. And it's a tremendous thing, and you might have it. You might have this gift, and man, you can just exercise that gift with people that need to know exactly what you need to say to them or say to them in the Lord that just sets them free. So anyway, what did Jesus say? Jesus perceived their wickedness, and he said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? He knew they were after to catch him, to say the wrong thing for the crowd or for the Roman government. And then he said this. This is amazing. Show me the tribute money, the money you would give for taxes. And they brought it to him a penny. And he said to them, whose is the image or the superscription, something that had been stamped on the money? And they said to him, Caesar's. Caesar's head was stamped on the coin that you would use to give taxes. And so he said to them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. But he didn't stop there. But he said a very convicting thing next. He said, and unto God, the things that are God's. Whose image is man made in? Whose image is stamped on you? God made man and woman, you guys, in his image. And so you can take this piece of money that has Caesar stamped on it, his image, and give it to him. But you need to take yourself, because you are made in the image of Almighty God, and give yourself to God. Wow! This is the most awesome, wisdom-filled, unbelievable answer that you could ever give. And so it says in verse 22, and I love this part, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went away. We can't get this guy. This wisdom is way up there to actually turn it around like that. Beautiful. So, these are the things that God can do. when I was in college, it was the women's lib situation had just started, so it was intense. Now, it's kind of intense today, but not like then. When the women's lib thing first got going in the colleges, it was so intense. It felt like there was electricity in the classroom. And professors loved to get classes going in discussions on that. And so my English teacher saw that there was some electricity building up between the women basketball players and the Marine Corps in that class, and you could feel it, and I was just thinking, oh man, I would just want to get out of this class right now because there's going to be a war here any minute, you know, because it was such a hot subject socially. And so the teacher looked at me and says, "Does your wife preach?" And everybody went, and they're waiting for my answer. And man, I didn't know what to say about that. I didn't want to get into a war with the lady jock, thank you very much, or with the Marine on the other side. But the Lord gave me a word of wisdom. And I just said, and I didn't even know what I said, and I didn't even understand why they were laughing. I just told them the truth. I said, "She does to me." And they thought that was the funniest thing they ever heard in their lives. They started busting up, and all that electricity just went zooming outside the room, and everybody started having a good time. And when I think back on it, it is a funny answer, isn't it? "She does to me." It sounds like Jack Benny or something, or Bob Hope. That's a good answer, funny answer. But God will do stuff like that. And it's really neat to know that that's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift, and you can rejoice in it and allow God to use you with the word of wisdom. Jesus Christ had it so beautifully. You know, they just all ended up going away. What are you going to do with the answers that Jesus can give? A word of wisdom, a gift of the Holy Spirit that he lavishes upon us freely. Now, the next thing is the word of knowledge. And let's take a look at the life of Jesus Christ on this one. John chapter 1, verse 47. So we go to the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 47. Now, Jesus was calling his disciples, and Philip was one of them, and Philip went and found Nathanael, and that's verse 45, the first three words. Philip finds Nathanael, and he actually was in a different town, and he started telling Nathanael that they found the Christ, and he should come and see. And as Nathanael was coming to Jesus, it says that Jesus saw Nathanael coming in verse 47 to him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile or dishonesty or deceit." And Nathanael was a serious-minded man or boy, man boy. And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? How in the world do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now this was miles away, and there's no way that Jesus could, without the word of knowledge, which is knowing something that you can only know by the Spirit, because you weren't there. But he gave this word of knowledge that Philip was under a fig tree Nathanael was under a fig tree when Philip called him. And this blew Nathanael right out of the water. And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And he was so serious-minded in looking for the Lord and so waiting to see God and God's answer to salvation. That because of a word of knowledge, Jesus knew something that he wouldn't normally know. Nathanael said, "You're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." The exercise of this one simple gift, the word of knowledge, God might give you something like that, where someone will say to you, "How did you know?" "Well, I just felt it from the Lord." And that's an open door. And that is a wonderful thing to happen, the word of knowledge. Be watching out for that. God might use you that way someday. God might be giving you the word of knowledge as a gift. You just know that you know. And there's no way you could have known unless God showed you. This is the gift of the word of knowledge. Now, let's just go ahead and do one more tonight, and we'll continue this study further. But the next on the list is faith. So we have the word of wisdom. And again, in review, the word of wisdom is just saying the right thing at the right time that you just know it was God to set somebody free. The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. You know something that you shouldn't know. And you were able to minister that to someone else. And then there's faith. Faith is a biggie, isn't it? It's really a biggie. Remember hearing a testimony of a guy that was given the gift of faith. He was a Pentecostal preacher, and he was giving his testimony one night at ancient Melody Land, when Melody Land was a church so many years ago. But he was sharing how he was at a meeting, and there was a lady in the meeting that had a huge lump on her throat. It was called a goiter, and it was just this tumor type thing on her throat. And the Lord said to him, "You need to go down from the stairs right now and grab her by the throat and pray for her, and she'll be healed." And he says, "Lord, you're going to have to tear off the roof and skywrite that for me to do that, because I could get into massive trouble." And the Lord just zapped him with faith. It just gave him this faith to do this thing. And so he went down and he grabbed her, and she started screaming at the top of her lungs, and he closed his eyes. I was just going, "Lord, what are you doing here?" And she was healed. God did it through the gift of faith. You never know what God's going to do. Well, the Lord is really desirous that we grow in our faith. And I'd like to give you now an example of the faith of Jesus Christ as compared to his disciples. Let's go to Matthew 17, verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. Now, Jesus had been up on Mount Hermon with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he was transfigured there into his glorified body. And he was with Moses and Elijah and was showing them his glory. And so they're now coming down from the mountain. And he had left the other disciples down at the bottom of the mountain. Now, when they were come to the multitude, verse 14, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water." This boy was demon possessed. The demon was throwing him into the fire and into the water. "And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." They could not cure him. Now, in order to put this in context, Jesus had sent forth all of his disciples before this happened and gave them power to heal and to cast out demons. And they came back rejoicing that the demons obeyed them. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that the demons obey you, but that your names are written in the book of life. That's where our rejoicing should be. But nevertheless, they had practice in casting out demons successfully. But they could not cast the demons out of this young man. And so Jesus answered and said, O faithless, O you without faith and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. So while he was gone, these disciples that had had practice already with casting out demons could not cast this demon out. And he calls them faithless. He says, you're without faith. And that's got to be painful to them. But at the same time, he shows frustration with them. And this might come to pass with you sometimes with some folks that you just believe should be further along in the Lord than they are. And you just feel frustrated with them. Well, don't feel like the Lone Ranger, because Jesus was frustrated with them. He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? You guys are giving me a pain in the neck just being with you, because you're just not having any faith here. And then he said, bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Why couldn't we do this? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed is this big. I have a whole bottle of mustard seed in my office. If you could just imagine the light that shone right where my fingers all meet, the four fingers there, that's how big a mustard seed is. And Jesus is just letting us know, if you have faith this big, that big, he says, you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, while Jesus was up on the mountain with the other three, the rest of them were kind of getting probably playful and moving away from spiritual thinking and spiritual things. He says here that you have to deny your flesh to really be ready for this kind of thing, because it is a big deal to cast a demon out. And so this kind only goes out by prayer. They weren't in the praying spot right now. They were probably saying, well, the Lord's gone right now. Peter and James and John are gone. And, you know, why don't we play a little pinochle? Anybody got any cards? Let's go for hearts. You know, that kind of thing. And so he's just kind of straightening them out. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy. And so we always have to be with one eye open for what's coming next. And that is in a spirit of prayer. And fasting is denying the flesh. It's not giving over to fleshly things, but being ready. And so the answer was unbelief. But Jesus had the faith, and he exercised the faith because he was given the Spirit without measure. And he just simply told that demon to hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more. And the demon left the little boy, and he was perfectly made whole. And their disciples just desired to be able to do that too. And he said, believe. Believe. Be in a sober-minded way in your walk with Christ. Be ready to help somebody, pray for somebody, be instant in season and out of season, preach the word. Just be in a readiness. Don't flesh out, man. Be alive in the Spirit. And so that's a good word for us, isn't it? If we want the gift of faith, we want to exercise faith. Be ready to go with faith. Because of their unbelief, they were unable to do their work in the Lord. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so that is what we should seek after. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's what we always wield. We wield our shield of faith. And thereby can put out the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because the devil, again, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy. And so the gift of faith, Jesus had it without measure. He wants to impart it to many of us in greater doses than others when you need it. That brother that needed to go down and lay hands on that poor woman with her goiter, her tumor, he needed a big boost of faith. He needed a lot of faith to do that. And you and I will need different degrees of faith at different times, but we must trust. We must learn how to trust the Lord. Amen? That's where we put our faith, always trusting God. Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray now. Let's pray about these first three gifts. And I'd like to pray for you just about how God would apply these things to your life, that you are very important to the Lord. And you know what? God uses his gifts in our lives to meet our adventure need. Everyone has an adventure need that needs to be met in their lives. Everybody has a love need that needs to be met in their lives. And either God meets those needs, and we allow him to do that, or we have to go to Knott's Berry Farm and go on Montezuma's Revenge 18 times to get our adventure need taken care of. And we go about seeking empty things that don't satisfy. But God wants to meet your adventure need by getting you to step out in faith. Step out there. Put your neck on the proverbial line and let God show you how strong he is. And just moving in the Spirit. It's an exciting place to be. And I think all of us know about that. But, you know, sometimes we're just chicken. But don't be chicken. Just do it, man. And it'll feel just like going upside down on Montezuma's Revenge sometimes. But afterwards you go, whoa, that was so heavy, what God just did. And it's so encouraging. And it's living a life in Christ, walking with him each day. Well, let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to those places where you're just saying, time to stir up your gifts. Time to stir them up and use them. And, Father, we just pray that you would show each one of us what our gifts are or gift. And, Father, that we would be ready, willing, and able, and jumping out to let you stir up those gifts within us and to make a difference to the precious people that you want to save, that you want to edify and build up in you. And so we thank you, Father, and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you need prayer for anything tonight, you just come on over. Even if you would like to get prayed for the gifts, that God would show you what your gifts are and what he has for your life. I look at Carmen there. I know that she is an exhorter, encourager, to all your patients, aren't you? You were. You're not working anymore. Okay, you got to look for others, right? Yes. But, you know, it was always neat to get testimonies from Carmen when she was working as a nurse. And, you know, people are in trouble in the hospital. And she wasn't afraid to share her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to see what God would do. And, you know, that's just who we all are. It's just very simply who we all are. God leaves us here on this earth to edify and build up the body of Christ, to share his love with others. And it's a most amazing thing. So may the Lord bless you tonight, and God continue to fill you and lead you in all that he has for you and meet your adventure need. Every one of us have to get our adventure need met by the Lord, because otherwise you get in trouble trying to do it some other way, and it doesn't work. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.